Hey everybody, we're Thunderdome Metal Reviews, and we're here to talk about some metal albums. I'm Ben, with me are David, Tracy, and Gabe. How's everyone doing?
Pretty righteous.
I'm pretty good, enjoying the kind of break in temperature that's came up in the past couple of days.
Feel the dark clouds spreading.
As one does. So we're here to talk about our picks, well, my pick, specifically, for an album that came out in August. I picked Crypta, Shades of Sorrow. It is their formatting second full length, released on August 4th of 2023 on Napalm Records. Had a runtime of 51 minutes and 45 seconds. Crypta is Luna DeMeto on drums, Fernanda Lira on bass and vocals, Tiana Gukbergamish on guitars, and Jessica DeFalchi also on guitars. Pablo Gregg came in and played some keyboard. And it looks like this album was produced by Rafael Augusto Lopez. So, all right.
The first of many heavy albums of this week, we'll say that.
Yep.
Yeah, this was a pretty heavy week all the way around, I will say.
With, of course, my typical palate cleanser in there, but it wasn't prog, so I mean, it kind of evens out.
Does it? We'll see.
I mean, Ben had to put with Tracy's prog bullshit, so.
I mean, Mermaid.
I'd say they're all fairly heavy. I mean,
they were.
And also, like, if you want to be relative to your usual picks, but anyway.
I mean, in a week where you had both Werewolves and Mermaid or 3, the final reckoning. I mean, that's and this album's pretty unrelenting too. I mean, I know it has some interludes, but ultimately it just grabs you and hits your head against the table over and over and over 13 times.
I guess the way I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not fucking around.
An old school death metal album. That's
100%. It reminds me of what I would call classic Sepultura, like the or whatever that era. You know, Beneath the Remains and Arise a little bit.
Yeah, very early Sepultura. Yeah, for sure.
Schizophrenia.
Yeah. The reason I picked this is because I needed something in. It came out in August, and I had listened to their 2021 album and thought fairly highly of it. I thought we had actually reviewed it, but we had not. But you know,
big green circle back. That's a thing we can do.
We certainly can. And so when I saw this, I was like, hell yeah, Brazilian female metal, let's do it.
Yeah, I listened to this in 2021. I think it was sort of near the tail end of my album of the year kind of marathon, and it impressed me back then. But I only gave it an honorable mention. And I just ran through it before we got on tonight, and I definitely like this one better than the one from 2 years ago. And I think part of what the difference is here for me is that this new album has some drama and emotion to it. And also I was fortunate enough to catch an interview with the drummer, Luana DeMeto, and she was talking about this album as a concept album. And I think that makes sort of the songs and like the journey you take going through it kind of a more interesting and more rewarding ride than say the older record was. Now, I didn't remember the old record all that well, but I mean, it just seemed rather straight ahead and not super outside the box, I want to say. So still hitting those old school metal kind of death metal vibes, but not necessarily, I don't know, distinguishing itself in too many ways. This, on the other hand, I feel like does.
Well, what did they, or what would you say the concept or the running thread was, the run through?
I don't remember the exact description, but it was like, you know, the journey of like someone in pain. Like,
sure. This cover. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. I'm just looking at the album cover. Man, hearing you say that, yeah.
You know, I don't know what the concept is either, and I didn't know it was a concept album, but I was reminded a lot of, vibe-wise, of that Venomous Concepts album we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that it being somebody just a cycle through pain. And, you know, the titles of the tracks and some of the lyrical content definitely would back that up. But for death metal, like, this was, I thought, very, you know, they did a lot with atmosphere in a way that bands not named Morbid Angel don't necessarily do.
I was just thinking that exact thing. I'm like, oh, well, Morbid Angel, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes that falls flat because it sounds like Zelda. But usually. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I agree with that.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, I was going to say, I think when clearly say that this one is not as, I don't want to say not as straightforward to death metal as, like, I think their Nervosa counterpart they did, we listened to in 2021, that we talked about, there's some overlap between them, and like the album we're doing later, one, which is just pure death metal. Like, they do a lot of incorporating other things into them. Like, there's moments, like, there's some levity here that I feel like they kind of pull back, which I think actually helps out a lot of the songs as well. That it kind of gives them moments to kind of let their songwriting breathe and show through, that I think found interesting, that instead of it just been like this full force frontal barrage, which I know some fans of the Pipe on the Podcast enjoy more than others.
I mean, there's a time and a place. I don't know. Like, I think you're right that they're doing something that's a little bit different and not so straight ahead. And I don't remember it correctly, but Nervosa struck me as a lot of, like, deathy thrash. This doesn't seem so thrashy.
I agree with that.
And
I do too.
You know, they're all, you know, they're all to some degree coming from Brazil and coming from that, you know, that very famous Brazilian death thrash kind of influence. This even has some doomy elements to it. You know, leaving out sort of like the interlude bits, which are definitely spaces to breathe. I think they're like also much more locked in, like, compositionally, where, like I was saying, with the sequence of the songs, but also the songs themselves, like, you know, it's not just repeat.
I think, Tracy, you're not being charitable. Werewolves makes use of both death and metal in their songs. And a tiny bit of core. That's about all I can say. Yeah, I think you all are hitting on the head. One, this is a lot less thrashy than Nervosa, which I really liked about Nervosa. This was a different album. But yeah, this atmospheric shit, I'm an easy mark for this, given Morbid Angel and my questionable commitment to their ways. So, and I thought, you know, this album, was this the longest one we listened to?
Oh, yeah, by far.
By a lot, wow. Yeah.
So I don't know, that Deathlock album seemed like it was long, but I don't think it was quite as long
as this one. But, you know, as Gabe said, there's some spaces where they ease off, and I don't know, it's, I think it's an improvement on that first album, and I'm really interested to see what they do after this. I think it's going to be, I would think, keep the lineup together, but yeah, this is some cool shit.
No, it is, and to Gabe's point, I hadn't really thought about it, but I knew there was something to stick out about the instrumental interludes, but it is the fact that they come right off a doom or a goth metal album, as opposed to like what a black metal album would be doing with the same thing.
Totally.
And again, something that like death metal usually doesn't do at all. So that was a really nice change of pace.
Yeah. And these sound like what they have in their interludes. Like it's not the Zelda style that you get with Morbid Angel and some of their stuff does. It's much more like, they're like, it sounds like they're using like a full key, like a full piano set on that, because it kind of like, it has like that, you know, like when you have like an actual piano playing, like you get the ivory sound that comes off when the keys are being hit, like you can hear that in the limbo and stuff. So it adds an interesting little touch to it. But I think overall, I think I like this more than Nervosa. I'm the only one here, I think, that did not listen to the Crypt the first album, because I was not fully bought in on Nervosa, of course. But this album was a pleasant surprise, I'll say that, listening to it.
What did you think it was going to sound like?
Well, I was expecting more thrashy death instead of this
deathy death, doomy death.
Yeah. Like, oh, who is that? That God, that we've done a couple other death doom albums.
Chemist?
No.
Paradise Lost?
Well, Death Doom, like, they're Trying to Spell was their first album we did by them.
Oh,
Hooded Menace.
Yeah.
Yes, Hooded Menace. Mm-hmm.
Hooded lost.
Paralyzed. Yeah, this is high energy. Like Hooded Menace is not high energy. Yeah. Really.
But there are moments where they get
on the death side than the doom side.
But there are moments when they get kind of close to what you're doing, but like they definitely fall in between them, but they do at times I think reach into that Hooded Menace territory. But they also come back and are like, and we're back.
Shall we talk about some tracks?
Sure. Do it.
I think that overall this is pretty good. It's way too long. Let me just get that out of the way. There you go, everybody, a drink. But I think that there are a couple of good combos on here where they do a good 1-2 punch, like Stronghold, The Other Side of Anger, Trail of Traitors, Lullaby for the Forsaken. And I like the way that Lord of Ruins, which is the last actual track, flows into the closure, the last instrumental track. I thought that actually worked really well. And sometimes closing with an instrumental is pointless, but I didn't think it was so here.
I'm going to second what Ben said on the 1-2 with Stronghold, The Other Side of Anger, Trial Traders, and Lullaby for a second. I like with the blindfold, though. It's got a nice little sound to it as well there.
I'm going to say all of them. And maybe I'll just shout out a couple here. Outsider's great. Stronghold's great. The Other Side of Anger. God, Lord of Ruins, so good. And I think I would also shout out Agent of Chaos.
Yeah, I like that song too. I, for better or for worse, have very little to add. I concur with all of you that run from basically Outsider through Other Side of Anger, that mid bit is really, really powerful, and I like Lord of Ruins a lot too. It is a bit too long. And maybe some of that is some of the other ones we did this week were shorter. It's always hard to know compared to what you're listening to because this did feel like it dragged a little bit, but there's some good stuff on here. I was pleased we listened to it.
Okay, great. That's my poison. I'll go first. I wanted to look back because, like I said, I thought we had reviewed because I had listened to the first one and see what I had given that as a grade. I wasn't able to find it. If you go back to our 2021 end of the year special where we ranked everything, maybe I mentioned it there. I don't remember and I can't find my list. And I say that to say this will probably wind up showing up on my end of the year rankings this year because it's been, in my opinion anyway, as opposed to my other three companions, a weak year for new records. But I do think this is better than their first one, like Gabe said, even though it is longer. So I was just wondering where my grade would fall in comparison. That was a lot of bloviating for me to say that I'm going to give this a B.
To the shock of no one anywhere in the world, I'm going to come very close to Ben. I think I like this a hair more. I liked it about as much as I like Nervosa. And like Nervosa, I'm going to give this a solid B+. Plus. Do it, well, Gabe.
I think I'm going to come in with the highest grade here because... this is a great record and one of the best I've heard this year. Just a real great showing from these ladies. And what I would say is that this is top 25 material. Don't know where it's going to land yet. I'm going to give this a 94.
Nice. Looks like it was Tracy Poe close to a 90.
No.
Oh, you haven't graded it yet. C-.
I know. D. I was pleasantly surprised by this album compared to what I was expecting coming into it. I think we'll get this a B-. Just, well, it was solid, but I mean, I think it was just, it is what it is. What did you get from it?
You're what you are.
I'm going to give it an 83.
So B+ overall.
That gives an average of 88. Would you buy the sound, gentlemen?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, buys it twice.
I think it's
I buy you a copy for free.
Against your will.
Dave buys me the 8-track version of it.
Every I get track. You an 8-track.
You get the master reels, send them to you. You just remix them, Tracy, the way you like.
Remix. Introduce Red Man and Method Man into it.
Why not? they played hot dog flavored water at the ball game. I'm like, Jesus.
Urban air assault or whatever.
This one was air raid assault, I think, not urban.
Okay.
It's an air raid vehicle. Anyway.
Air raid vehicle.
Did you say you were going to buy it, Ben? I apologize if I missed it.
I did.
Yes. The answer is yes. Speaking of buying things, a dumb segue. Anyway, what is the next thing we're buying emotionally, Tracy?
What is the next thing David's already bought before it was announced? And didn't it's the third year in a row, Werewolves has released a new album, My Enemies Look and Sound Like Me. So let's see what David thinks of this. Anybody's been following the pod long. It's not going to be a hard guess for you.
I mean, shit, it was hard. Skindred dropped, Cataclysm dropped, Megahertz dropped, Orbit Culture dropped. Like, a bunch of shit happened. I'm like, oh, but Werewolves. And so that was the end of that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is the one I'm going to give a B or even a C. What do you think, Tracy? Does it sound like me?
No, you're going to give this.
No, absolutely not.
The question I'm more wondering is what A are you going to give it? Not if you're going to give it an A. What A are you going to give it?
I don't want to talk about it until our next episode. On Thunderdome, better review.
Broken Macaw.
The brokenest.